Hey, are you hungry? Well, you're in luck. Meat and Three is back for season 16. I'm Taylor Early, and we've got a whole new batch of reporters I am so excited to introduce you to.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Fisher.
Asha McElroy.
Sam Girardi.
Jessica Gingrich.
Hannah from Wisconsin.
I'm a swing dancing audio engineer.
I am a future registered dietitian nutritionist.
I'm from New York, and I love rice and beans.
My favorite food of all time is a shrimp burrito.
I love watermelon.
We've also got a bonus podcast for you called Behind the Internship. Three of our reporters will take you along to show how they develop stories for this very show, Meat and Three.
Hi, I'm Danielle Flitter, a plant-based chef from Philadelphia, living in Mexico City.
I'm Sophia Hooper. I'm a bartender based in Portland, Maine.
My name is Addison Austin Liu. I am a chef and food journalist from Salt Lake City, Utah, and my favorite food is Peruvian.
Rice and beans.
Hand-drawn noodle soup.
So tune in to enjoy a square meal for your ears. And I hope you saved a little room for dessert.
Cutting the Curd has been brought to you by Academy Opus Cassius, the cheese industry's unique center for professional development, offering both practical and classroom training in the heart of France, specifically adapted for the Anglophone cheese professional. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby. You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby. You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby, broadcast live to the cosmos on the Heritage Radio Network.
Happy Friday afternoon to everybody, and welcome to another episode of Cutting the Curd on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Ann Saxelby. The show is being engineered by Jack Inslee, and my guest today is Rachel Jewell, who's better known as Just Jewell, who is the director of the Daphne Zepos Teaching Award. Thank you for being on the show with us, Jewell.
Thank you for asking me to come.
So we did a show last year, right after Daphne passed away, in remembrance of her. And at that point, this effort was just getting underway, and we were really thrilled to hear of how successful it's been so far. Can you tell us a little bit about the award and how it came about and what's been done to date?
Yeah, definitely. So started early last summer, basically, when Daphne knew that she was going to be dying. She worked with her husband, Brad Brown. She really wanted to leave an imprint on the industry. She already had, obviously, so many of us knew, but she really wanted it to be a lasting legacy. And so then she worked with her husband to create a vision of what she wanted it to be, and they came up with a scholarship, which was so fitting, given how much Daphne appreciated education.
And I guess maybe we should back up. I like launched right into this. But some of our listeners may have known Daphne Zepos, and some of our listeners might not have known Daphne Zepos. But she was a really amazing woman. She was worked in a lot of different facets of the cheese world. She worked at Artisanal here in the city to help them design their cheese caves and then later their education program. She founded the Essex Street Cheese Company, which is still in existence and sells really incredible cheeses, a very small selection of really incredible cheeses. And she also was the owner of the Cheese School in San Francisco, which was a really wonderful small school that was purely dedicated to cheese appreciation and education. You know, she was a really special woman. So basically, Daphne learned that she had cancer, and after a battle, passed away last year. And so this award was set up in her memory. And as you said, it took the form of a scholarship. Can you tell us a little bit about the scholarship?
Yeah. So then, just even kind of backing up even more, you know, it really fit with her career goals when she was active. And like you said, she had so many different areas that she worked in. She was in restaurants. She was in affinage, she wrote all these things, but everything for her was important to educate and to increase exposure about the cheese world. And so this scholarship's so fitting for that, because her goal was that a U.S.-based professional would then be able to travel to Europe, learn about cheese, and then come back. Though the whole point was that they would share their knowledge, and then that would have a trickle effect, you know, to anyone that heard their heard the information, and then they would go back to their stores and share all those things, and things like that. And so, the scholarship got set up. She called in her friends, basically, to help. But really, and that show that you had after she died, you know, Ari really brought up the point that this was her baby. This was her idea. It's we're executing it, but really everything was her ideas and we're following it to a T. Literally, she was very explicit about it.
That's amazing. I mean, she was a very strong, special person in that she kind of took her last, you know, months to devote her energies to that, to make sure it got set up the way that she wanted to. Is just really exemplary of how brave, you know, and what a unique person she is.
Yeah.
So Daphne, I mean, I feel like we should tell a Daphne story, because I feel like I learned so much from her, you know, in so many different aspects of my cheese career. And sorry, this is my son Max who's contributing to the conversation here. But one of my favorite presentations ever at the ACS was one that she set up about transhumans. Mm-hmm. She brought in an anthropologist from, I believe she was American, but she spent quite a bit of time with shepherds in the Pyrenees in the 80s and studying their families, studying how they would move up and down the mountain with their animals. And, you know, her approach to all of those things, it was just so deep, so thorough. And so I feel like, you know, anyone who's applying for this scholarship is in for, you know, a pretty amazing experience.
Yeah, and definitely the people that we have who've already volunteered to be hosts of the winner are going to give an incredible experience. You know, they're going to be able to really, the winner's really going to be able to immerse themselves in whatever interest that it is, whether it's, you know, Basque style cheeses, or if it's, you know, French soft cheeses, anything that they want to do, really the experience they're going to have is just going to be completely life altering.
Now, are there any kind of limitations as to what people can apply for with the scholarship, like geographic regions or types of cheese or types of experiences, or is it the world is your oyster?
Pretty much right now, it's Europe is the main goal, at least for the first year, that they would travel to Europe. So then can't go anywhere in the U.S. And in the future, you know, we would like to explore options of potentially them being able to travel elsewhere. But Daphne, at least from, you know, what Brad understood and Ari understood, what her wishes really were that she that the winner would go to Europe. But when they're there, they can learn, go anywhere. They can learn about Goudas, or they can choose a multi-destination trip where they're like, okay, let's visit kind of the grandfathers of cheese and learn about Parmesan and learn about Comté, and then learn about, you know, sheep's milk cheese from Spain, things like that. Or it could be that they spend the entire time and all the funds in one location. So they have a great deal of autonomy in choosing this.
Wow, that's incredible. And so the scholarship, it's not based on an amount of time or anything like that. It's based on a dollar amount, and then the applicant can do with it what they will.
Exactly. So they can either use those, it's going to be a $5,000 scholarship. They can use those funds however they choose. It can assist in paying for bills while they're away. So if they have rent here in the U.S., obviously they're going to have bills. They can put the money towards that so that they then can have more freedom. Over in Europe, a lot of our destinations that have already spoken up of wanting to host are willing to cover costs, so that way they could put the money towards things back home. But again, it's just a dollar amount. You choose how you want, what you want to do with it.
And so can we talk about that for a minute? Who are your host partners, and who has signed on so far to help with this education process across the pond?
Yeah, so far we have three that have come on board. We have Hervé Mons,
who's actually a sponsor of this show. His Academy Opus Caseus is a generous sponsor of Cutting the Curd, so that's great.
Yeah, so it's he's fantastic. He approached, actually, when I was at Fancy Food Show just this couple months ago, and really wanted to be able to offer his location and accommodations and everything to a winner. The other is Mary Quick of Quick's Cheddar in Devon, England, who's a fantastic personality. I love her to bits. She's volunteered. She accepts pretty regularly people to come and just for a day or for a week or whatever to come make cheese at her farm. But this would be then she's really excited to be able to sponsor the winner. And then also the other one is Jason Hines of Neil's Yard Dairy. He's extending an invitation for anyone to be able to come and work there in London. So
That sounds phenomenal. That sounds phenomenal. Whoever wins the scholarship is going to be a very, very lucky person.
Yeah.
So the applications are out. Am I correct?
Yep. Mm-hmm. You can download them at our newly set up website, DaphneZepposTeachingAward.org. So pretty simple. We also have a Facebook page, but this website is where you can download documents. On there also is the vision that Daphne had written to be able to read, but also download and, you know, have as a copy, which I really highly recommend reading that, because for me, the first time I read it, it felt like Daphne was talking to me. It's just written in such, it's written in a future outlook and perspective, looking back on the last 3 years and seeing how far we've come in the award, how many people have won. It's because the person, I should clarify too, the person who wins will have to return to the U.S. and teach at ACS the following year.
I was going to ask, that was another question that I had. How will this information be disseminated?
Yeah, so that was her. Again, Daphne was incredibly explicit. There was no gray area of how she wanted it done. So the person basically also can travel whenever they want, but they have to be able to return, obviously, enough in time and gather their information, their presentation, because they will have a time slot at ACS where they will present all their information that they learned to all the people who are attending.
And just in case any of our listeners don't know, ACS is the American Cheese Society. Their website is cheesesociety.org, and they're kind of the educational body, I would say, and sort of industry body for artisan cheesemaking here in the United States. And they have an annual conference every year in late August, usually, or early August.
Yeah.
And it changes cities. So, like I said, Daphne's presentations at the ACS conference were always my favorite. So it's really exciting to know that this tradition is going to continue.
Yeah, I was thinking actually of that, you know, on my way over here, I was thinking about how last year at ACS was when Daphne was, or actually was given to her husband because she had just passed away, but the Lifetime Achievement Award. And so it was a highly emotional experience. Mm. You know, I wasn't there, but just by all count, you know, incredibly tearful, and especially it was so raw, everything. It was just incredibly bittersweet, you know, taken too soon. But now I look at this year, it's going to be incredibly emotional, but almost for a very positive thing, you know, for all of us who were there last year or have been part of this journey, it'll be Daphne's still there, but it's kind of, you know, it's her legacy that's there instead of this sad memory, you know?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, I think this is a good time to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about the scholarship, the foundation, and different events that are happening around the country to support. So stay with us on Cutting the Curd.
Change is coming around the bend. Shotgun wedding and a story.
You're listening to Basilica by the Hollows on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
To feed a girl from the finger bowl. Next time you step up.
The Academy Opus Cassius is the cheese industry's unique center for professional development, offering both practical and classroom training for cheese professionals ready to move their careers to the next level. When you come to learn at the Academy, we instill our love for cheese, our expertise, and our experience so that you can support artisanal producers, impeccably care for the fine cheeses you carry, and serve your customers with skill and enthusiasm. We integrate hands-on practice, formal instruction, and classroom discussion in all of our courses. The Academy's programs are offered at the Mons Fromagerie in the heart of France, where cheese undergoes affinage and cheeses are received, prepared, and shipped. Several Mons retail shops are nearby. The surrounding countryside is the home to producers whose excellent cheeses are cared for by the Mons team. The Academy has been recognized by the American Cheese Society as the first and only approved education center for those preparing for the Certified Cheese Professional Exam. The Mons cheese business has more than 50 years' experience caring for and teaching about cheese in France, a country known as the source of some of the world's greatest cheeses, deepest cheese tradition, and the highest level of technological research and rigor in cheese making and ripening. Enroll now for Essential Foundations for Cheese Professionals or Affinage, the Art and Science of Maturing Cheese. For more information, visit www.academy-mons.com. That's academie-mons.com. Certified Cheese Professional is a registered trademark of the American Cheese Society.
And we are back on Cutting the Curd on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Ann Saxelby. Jack Inslee is engineering this show. And my guest today is Jewel, Rachel Jewel, from the Daphne Zepos Teaching Award. Now, is your official title director or?
Chief Administrator.
Chief Administrator. Yeah. Okay. I want to talk a little bit more about the structure of the foundation. Mm-hmm. Can you let me know who's on the board of directors and who else is with you in this charge to educate in the cheese world?
Yeah, definitely. Again, as we were saying too, Daphne orchestrated the whole thing. So she chose all of her board members. And so the president is Mo Frechette of Zingerman's Mail Order. And then the other board members, and a lot of them were very key in helping her set up, were Jason Hines of Niels Yardary, R.A. Weinsvig of Zingerman's, and then also Sam Mogganum of By Right Market, Charlotte Kamen of Bedford Cheese Shop, Peggy Smith and Deborah Dickerson of Cowgirl Creamery, Tomales Bay Foods, and then also Kathy Gaffney of Wegmans, Kathy Strange of Whole Foods, and Greg O'Neill of Pastoral in Chicago, and then also Amelia Magnucci of DeBruner Brothers, and also her husband, sorry, Brad Brown.
Wow, that's an all-star lineup of cheese people.
It's pretty intense when we're all in the same room together.
I can only imagine. So can you tell me a little bit about how the foundation has gone about raising funds, past events, current events, future events? There's some really creative and exciting things that people have done to help with this cause.
Yeah, definitely. So we started off the fundraising at ACS last year when the Teaching Award was announced. So that would have been those months there up until 2012, we raised just over $100,000, which was fantastic.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a lot of work, but we got a lot of help, obviously, from the community all over the country, really. We had many, many different events, and basically what we encouraged from the board when people would ask, what can I do? We basically instilled, this is our advice, is do what you already do, just somehow raise money. And so then if you sell cheese, but do a percent off percent of the donations then go to, or percent of the proceeds go towards the award. A lot of that happens, especially during the holiday seasons, where people obviously increase sales, so they would donate 25% of, say, Essex cheese to the proceeds there to the award. Or that was a lot of what happened. But one of the coolest events that I thought of, didn't necessarily bring in tons and tons of money, but I just thought it was really cool. It was, I remember it was right before American Cheese Month, because our goal was to have our social networking we hadn't done yet, because all this was semi-rushed, and so we were kind of just keeping up with everything. And so then we launched our Facebook page and our Twitter on October 1st for American Cheese Month.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so I was really excited about that, and I was helping set it all up, and we're brainstorming the Twitter account, and I was actually working with Mo Frechette, and he says, yeah, do Twitter, but I really don't think it's all that important. Facebook page is going to be the thing. And I'm like, I don't know. We should do Twitter. We'll do it. And so the first day, and I'm fumbling through Twitter. I was not very good at it at all. Don't know the vocabulary,
oh
so
my
I apologize.
God. I am illiterate.
Yeah. Retweet, things kept coming at me. I didn't understand. I was very overwhelmed. But I was doing my best to try to just spread the word somehow virally. And all of a sudden, I got a retweet, or someone tweeted at me something and said, oh, it's Katie from Beehive Cheese in Utah. We are so excited. This is great. But we're actually going to do a fundraiser. And I hadn't heard anything about it. So I was so excited, because this is the first event that we had heard of. No one had organized anything yet.
Oh, wow.
And so she was like, okay. And I was like, I was so excited. So I retweeted back or something, my email address, so she could write me for the full details. And it turned out that they had been brainstorming, but no one really knew. And they didn't know how to contact anybody, because we had no public information out there. So they ended up partnering up with Gordon Edgar from Rainbow Grocery in San Francisco, who's a fantastic personality, and made T-shirts with him on it, paired up with their Barely Buzzed cheese and all this thing. And so her and I brainstormed what we could do with these T-shirts. They wanted to somehow help with the DZTA and these shirts. So they ended up, the company themselves ended up making a cash donation and then giving us all of the t-shirts. They gave us 50 different t-shirts and to bring in more donations. So then we sold them via Facebook, and they're still available. We still have quite a bit. But we ended up bringing in $730 just from these t-shirts.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it was just really, really great. It was, you know, small, but yet really exciting. It was funny. It was ingenious, you know, just everyone got a crack out of it, especially Gordon. He's seen himself all over the place. You know, I was shamelessly posting that everywhere, you know, pictures of me wearing it and like, oh, wouldn't you want this Gordon swag, you know, for the DZTA. And he was humiliated, but it was really funny. And it was just a really great way, I think, to kind of kick off everything, you know, a little lighthearted and, you know, in light of all the sadness. And two, it was just exciting because it was our first event. And I like to say that, see, Twitter paid off.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Twitter is one of those things that, yeah, I don't get it, but I know that it's important.
Yeah, it works. So, somehow it works.
Exactly. Wow. So that's incredible. Very creative.
Yeah.
And I know you mentioned you have another big event coming up pretty soon in Burlington.
Mm-hmm, yep. So it's next Sunday, actually, March 24th. Up in Burlington, Vermont, Molly Stevens approached us, who is a very close friend of Daphne. And she had just been back visiting Brad in San Francisco. And she came home and called us up and said, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I have to do an event. I have to do something for Daphne. And she was really had no ideas. She's like, I just want to raise money somehow. But Vermont was a great place for Daphne. You know, she really helped us in the community. Great support. We all love her. We have to give back somehow. And so ran a couple ideas past her, but then it literally became this just domino effect of an event, and she just started making phone calls, literally, and she called up Ari, and he was like, yep, whatever you need, I'll be there. And she called up Allison Hooper, yep, whatever you need, I'm going to be there. She called up Mateo Kaler of Jasper Hills, and he said, yep, whatever you need, I'll be there. And it's just phone call after phone call of, yep, whatever you need, like cash, you know, cheese, whatever. And then they found a venue they donated the space. It's this great historic train station in Burlington.
Wow.
And they've got food galore coming in from all these different cheesemakers in Vermont. I think as of now, there's about 10 different cheesemakers that are going to be there just from the Vermont area. And then great restaurants are donating food and alcohol and the whole nine yards. It's going to be a really, really fantastic party. And Ari's going to speak, do some book signing. They're actually going to have a cheese poetry wall, which I think is really cool. That I was really excited to hear about.
That's awesome. And very Vermont. I feel like people will definitely like get into it.
Yeah,
you know?
I think so. Yeah. They actually just saw an ad that the local newspapers is getting people already excited to start thinking about what kind of cheese poetry they want to write. You know, it's pretty funny. I guess it came from the idea of all this publicity about funny cheese signs that's been in all the news. Right?
Oh yeah. There was that New York Times article a couple weeks back about cheese signs and how, cheesemongers are kind of also writers in a way.
Yeah. Yeah. And so then she got this idea to then make everybody a poet who is there and be like, they're going to taste all the cheese. And then behind them will be like big, huge paper basically on the wall. And then you'll go and write on the wall what you would how you would describe this cheese in some funny, has to be a funny kind of, you know, or unique way.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
That sounds great. God, I wish I was going to be in Burlington next weekend. That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, there's tickets still available. And those are all available. We set up an Eventbrite site.
Oh, great. Yeah. And so is that also through your website?
Yeah. So then that, or actually on the Facebook page, is there's an event on our Facebook page.
Okay.
For Ahead of the Curd. Sorry, that's the name of the fundraiser.
Ahead of the Curd.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, it's great. You've got a beautiful orange logo, or more golden. And you can buy tickets directly through there. They're $50 each, which is I think it's a fantastic
deal.
Yeah,
for
it's
all
huge
the
deal for all the people that are going to be there. And
cheese poetry. Come on.
Yeah, come on. How could you pass it up? I think there'll be t-shirts too, I think. I mean, it's going to be this fantastic event. And it's huge for us because we're looking at raising $10,000 for this event. So it's the biggest event that we've had by a long shot so far in the process.
Wow, that's great. And so if people want to launch their own event, how do they go about contacting you to set that up?
So they can definitely send me an email. That's been the best way, which is racheljuhl@essexcheese.com.
And Jewel is J-U-H-L.
Correct, yep. So R-A-C-H-E-L, J-U-H-L, @essexcheese.com.
Okay, great.
And that's the best way. And then we can set up a time to chat on the phone or just an email and bounce off ideas, what your plans are, and we help out any way we can.
I was actually just at Zingerman's last week for a business training seminar, and they organized an event for Daphne while I was there. It was just kind of a night of remembering Daphne, and they had different cheesemongers get up and tell their stories about Daphne and how they first met, or, you know, a story about how she inspired them or educated them. And they actually auctioned off some Zingerman's Conte posters, because Zingerman's, if you know, you guys have never, if our listeners have don't know about Zingerman's, look it up, Zingerman's.com. They have an amazing art department that has been, you know, sort of, it was, you know, born of one person working in the deli back in the day. And now they have all this amazing signage. So I bought a Comte poster.
Oh, cool.
That, and the money went to the foundation. So I was like, hey, this is such a, it's a deal. You know, you get a poster and the money goes to the foundation.
Exactly. It's for a very good cause. Yeah.
Yeah. That's really great. So when are these scholarships due?
Yes. So the applications need to be submitted by May 31st. And all that information is on the website, but just for review, it's available, or you send it to me directly via email with all the requirements. So then in the application packet, it specifies what that includes. So there's a basically a vision that the applicant has to write about how they believe they're going to use this education that they're going to be getting. And then also there's letters of recommendations to submit and other pieces of paperwork. But May 31st is the deadline.
That's fantastic. Well, get on it, people. Yeah. What an amazing opportunity. A $5,000 scholarship to go and learn about cheese in Europe. I mean, I can't imagine. I want to apply.
Right? Yeah. I know we were talking about it, that things like this weren't around, you know, when we were starting out. And I would absolutely love, you know, to go back. And if I had something then, I would have applied many times.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, so, and then you're at over $100,000. What is the final goal for your fundraising?
So the final goal is $250,000, $250,000. Because what that will do is allows us to become an endowment where then basically it will feed the scholarship, pay for it in perpetuity, so that every year we'll have this $5,000 scholarship. And fundraising will still occur because people want to do things for it, but that will get us to the point where we'll be, you know, set for every year.
That's amazing. Well, it's funny. One of my favorite coffee shops when I was in college was a place called The Gray Dog, which is in the West Village. And their tip jar had a sign on it that I always remember. The tip jar said, "Karma is a boomerang."
That's awesome.
And I feel like with Daphne, that statement could not be more true. Mm-hmm. And to just see that kind of perpetuated now through this foundation and all of the generous and creative ways that people have come up with to support it. It's really heartening.
Yeah, I think it's so great because so many people in this process, you know, I just keep getting so overwhelmed because how many people are reaching out and sharing their Daphne stories, you know, it usually comes down to this one commonality of I met her one time or I only got to see her once a year, but every time it was incredibly special and she had this incredibly lasting impact. And I know that was for me personally, that I had very limited physical contact with her, but had an incredible presence always in my mind about setting goals for what I want to do with my career or just even personally and your outlook on food and things like that. And so she gave so much. It's so nice to see that, or for all of us now to have the opportunity, like you said, like a boomerang, you know, it's our way to give back to Daphne.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been a real pleasure talking with you and a real pleasure hearing about all the progress that the Daphne Zeppos Teaching Award has made. And I can't wait to hear about the first scholarship recipient.
Yeah, July 31st, it'll be made and it's announced at ACS. So be there if you can.
Fantastic. And ACS, again, this year is in Madison. You can find out about it at cheesesociety.org. Again, thank you, Jewel. This has been fantastic.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful.
We'll be back next week with another episode of Cutting the Curd on the Heritage
You're
Radio Network.
To Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby. You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby. You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby, broadcast live to the cosmos on the Heritage Radio Network.
Hey everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.